I created an app last year on mental wellness. So people can go to this app, and it includes different courses. It has books. It has meditation sounds.
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast, inspired by Vishen Lakhiani and Ajit Nawalkar, co-founders of EverCoach, a division of Vine Valley. In this podcast, we speak to coaches and creatives about where they were, where they are, and where they are going. This is the intersection of what we focus on expands, and your story is your superpower. My guest today is Deshauna Jeffries. She is the CEO and founder of A Passport to Breathe, a coach, author, and a speaker who helps people achieve their full potential. And today we're going to jump into some awesome topics that I know my audience will love. And so, Deshauna, thank you for joining me and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Yeah, me too. And usually I kind of ask people, like, how did you end up in this space? And tell us a bit more about yourself.
So my story is a bit unique. At the age of 38, I was living a good life. I was single, no kids, but I had a home, I had my dream car, and I was doing pretty well for myself. And then in 2016 or so, I met the man of my dreams. And we had like the best love affair. He helped my, I met his family. He met my family. We went on vacation together. He helped my parents put together my 40th birthday party. And, we even had a hashtag for social media. So it was like a true, true love affair. Then, and we dated about 2.5 years. So one day I'm at home from work and I'm in my kitchen cooking and I get a phone call and I'm like, usually I don't answer numbers I don't know, but something just told me to answer this call. And when I did, it was his wife of 12 years. Yeah. And in that moment, you know, I couldn't speak. I couldn't think. I was just like, what is going on right now? When I finally could breathe, I gasped. And she said, oh my gosh, you didn't know. And I hadn't known. You know, I'm nobody's side piece. I'm not a cheater. You know, there, I was like, how did this happen? So for 4 hours, we sat, talked back and forth, comparing notes to see how this happened. And it was just a whirlwind. When I got off the phone with her, I just fell back into my couch and I cried and I cried and I just didn't know what to do. The days following, depression started sitting in. And, you know, it wasn't really because of what happened, but it was just my body, my mind. And I just couldn't get out of that depression. And in that moment, I decided it was too much for me to bear. So I drank alcohol, took pills, and tried to end it all. I did promise myself and promise God that if I woke up, I would get therapy right away. I did die that night. But I died of who I was. And when I woke up, I kept my promise and I called a therapist and I became who I am still becoming now.
Wow.
So that is really how I got into mental health, knowing, you know, helping everyone else, because through therapy, I learned, yeah, it wasn't that particular situation. I actually have clinical depression. I actually have anxiety. And then because of that situation, I had PTSD. So I had to learn how to manage all these things. And you know, and we're in a time that we really didn't talk about this type of stuff in our households. So me not knowing these things were going on really affected my life now that I'm on the other side of it. So that's really how I got there.
Wow. First, thank you for being vulnerable. That's, wow. I couldn't even imagine just finding that out, right? And then like you did something wrong, which you realize later, no, I didn't do anything wrong. But at the time, it's probably like all these questions. I've been in a depression like that where I remember this guy was saying like, it's just clouds, it will pass. And I was like, what are you talking about, man? Like, it's been like this for years or whatever. And now I can definitely see it. I even wrote a poem that two people have told me saved their lives. And it's kind of about the clouds and how you're the sun behind the clouds. So now you know that. I can see it. I'm so glad you're still here. And so now that you are the sun behind the clouds, you want to give back and make sure this doesn't happen to other people. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think when we don't know, you know, because in that moment, I thought it was the situation that caused me to not want to deal with life anymore. But if I really look back on it, even as a kid, I had suicidal ideations. So it was that just triggered it. But it's very important to learn and know. So I'm doing everything that I can to help with mental health, mental wellness, and just, you know, make everyone aware and make it okay.
Yeah, it's so important. And so you're a coach, you're a speaker, you're an advocate. And so maybe can we talk about that and expand on what you just said about helping make people aware?
Yes. So right after that situation, I worked on myself for about a year. And then I started A Passport to Breathe, and I named it A Passport to Breathe because in my life, I love traveling. That was one thing. And, you know, what does a passport do? It gives you the ability. It gives you the ticket somewhere. That is your entrance. So I wanted to give people the entrance to actually breathe life into them. So that's how that started. And then I wrote two books for meditation, daily meditation. And then from there, just started speaking at mental health summits. And now I'm kind of getting into the AI whole part of it. But I'm sorry, let me go back. I created an app last year on mental wellness. So people can go to this app, and it includes different courses. It has books. It has meditation sounds and, you know, like kind of any question that you have around, or if you're not ready to go to therapy yet, this is kind of your start. So you go in, you kind of see what questions can be answered. What I'm excited about is that with AI, now I can create bots to go into that app, and you can actually ask questions and be answered 24/7. And that is with me feeding the bot the information.
So that's empowering for people, right? Because that when sometimes when these issues arise, it is 3 a.m. and you can't phone your coach or your therapist or anything. So this is such a helpful idea. And yes, we've seen just recently, right, how much mental health is a lot more than we all thought it was. And It's weird, right? Because it should have been known a long time ago. Like, we have physical health, we talk about it, but no, like, so even if there's nothing wrong and you have a great life, you still have to maintain and watch for your own mental health, right? Like, yeah. It's just a function of being human. But there's this stigma still. I don't know how it is where you are, but there's still this stigma attached to it. I see it changing. I facilitate mental health groups, and I see it changing where the stigma was even worse for men. But now I start seeing, like, my group's actually shifted over the last year and a half where it's more men now than women, which is kind of interesting. But what do you think about that?
I think that is freaking awesome. One of my books that I created was for men, because in the moments of right after all of that happened, some of my best male friends and cousins and my godbrother, like, they all took me in and just made me feel like, you know, this is not all men. And they helped me get to the other side. So I was like, what could I do in response? Because this is not all men. You know, I knew that, but to have them just grasp me in their arms, that was like totally, you know, just amazing. So I know men have, you know, those issues too. And what do they tell y'all? Be strong. Oh, you're acting like a sissy or whatever. And that's not true. Like, we all have issues. We're human. Male or female, we're human. And we all have trauma. We all have issues that we have to deal with. And I think it's important for men to get out there and get the help also. So that was one of my books. It was kind of right around the time of the George Foreman, where his, it was the case, the jury had came down. And so I wrote a book called 365 Love Notes to the World's Black Kings. And that was just for, you know, Black men that really, because in that moment, they were scared of police that was high. You know, they were really scared of police. You know, they were really having PTSD from things that they're just seeing on TV. You know, it may have happened to them in real life. Some, yes, it happens, but they're just being shown this over and over on TV, and you can get trauma from TV. So I just wanted to be kind of that healing hand of, you're not everything that the world is saying that you are. And I applaud all men that are taking that step for themselves.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's an important highlight you just did about the PTSD. Like, it doesn't have to be something that actually happened to you. You can watch it. And if anybody's considering, is that true or not, just close your eyes and listen to these words. September 11th. And then you see that picture, right? And that's like a...
Yeah.
It's not even a national, because it goes outside of America. That's like a human trauma that happened to anybody who was alive and can remember those flashbulb moments, those are called. And we saw this with George Floyd, and like, oh my God, it still is just like, what?
So,
And it's like, we're removed from it. It should be kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I feel it. So that's magical name too. 365 Love Notes for Black Kings.
Yes.
That's a awesome name. I love it.
Thank you.
So let's turn to, like, you're a life coach, you're a business coach, a mentor, a speaker, and all this. And so what kind of tools would you use for someone who, where you used to be, where you're saying, like, and where I was in that, and you can't see out of it at that point. So someone's just listening to this, they're like, what are these people even talking about? I'm just stuck here and there's no hope. Where would you start?
So I would definitely start with, what I did was I took sticky notes and I wrote just all types of either love notes or positive motivational speeches I've heard or parts of the speeches. And I wrote them down on sticky notes and I put them everywhere that I took space up in my house. So, you know, in the mirror where I'm getting ready for work, on the refrigerator, you know, like anywhere I got to open the door to the front door, anything like that. I started with that. And what that does is, you know, because we absorb, again, you know, with the news, we absorb what we're getting. So that was one thing. I stopped the news also. And I just
absorb a lot coming up this year.
Yes. So I completely stopped with the news. I used my phone for weather in the traffic. And I just did not do news because, you know, when you're trying to get yourself out of that space, unfortunately, the news, you know, different things can take you further down into that space. So you want anything that's positive. So you want to be feeding your soul with any positivity. So you want to be reading. I listen to YouTube. That's another one. I listen to YouTube motivational videos on the way to work. You know, I'll listen to them at night. So it's just surrounding yourself with positivity. So your body is absorbing that and can recover from that depression.
Beautiful. And so for someone in that right now, there's something here is that whatever you're doing right now is not working. So you have to change your environment and you might be stuck in an apartment. You might have to isolate, but that doesn't mean you have to watch the news. And so the things that you're saying, we don't even realize that we're doing it to ourselves, right? Like we're putting that information into our filter when you could listen to a motivational speech or just the words, the way you have affirmations lying around your house, that's hitting your subconscious without you even noticing. You go to the mirror, brush your teeth every morning and say, I'm so beautiful. I'm so beautiful. And you do that twice a day. All of a sudden, even if you don't feel it, you start believing it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, a year ago, I wouldn't have said I was a speaker because I'm a huge introvert. But here I am, you know, speaking on different platforms. So, it's not like, you know, it stops when you get out of whatever, you know, when you're going through that hill, that valley, because what you're doing, you have to manage it. You have to manage it on a daily basis. Like I know for me, my clinical depression is not going anywhere. My anxiety is not going anywhere. So I have to constantly feed myself positive energy. And in order to stay on a level ground. So, you know, I implore people because people think, oh, you got better. And then they're just, you know, stop everything that they were doing. That's not
lucky. You got lucky. That's what people say, right? But it's not true. Like you're doing the work every day.
Every day. Yes. Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
So, like, these are the things, right, that I learned when I went through a decade of chronic pain. Like, it was horrible, right? I was just sat in a chair taking 33 pills a day, just miserable. And then I heard this doctor say, your personality creates your personal reality. I was like, is that true? Like, yeah, that's definitely true, man. I'm a miserable person, and it's showing up everywhere I look. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing some of the things this guy said. I started listening to more of his audios, podcasts. And he said things like just doing meditation, journaling, affirmations, motivational messages. He's talking about that filter where we put stuff in and how little kids, they can't even enjoy a sunset now because they want the dopamine from shooting in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Sunset does nothing for them, right? But all these things are daily work. And for the most part, nobody sees it. You're doing this work. And so, but then what happens is by doing that, you're changing your personality and then your personal reality changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I think, so motivational speaking is huge because the voice is needed so much now and because of what you went through, like you're definitely not alone. A lot of people have done it. And I think it's important to highlight that. Like, so the depression doesn't go away. You've turned the volume down on it, but the volume can really get cranked up real fast if you don't
correct
things. Correct. So what do you what are your go-tos? Do you do like journaling, meditation, or any? Walk us through your personal kind of list or.
So my go-tos, if I feel myself start slipping, number one, it's music. Music is life to me. So, you know, I'll turn on just anything that will kind of be upbeat, get me going. So, you know, some people will be like, oh, let me turn on music and then turn on sad love song. Don't do that. Don't do that. They'll do any sad country songs. Don't do none of that. You want the upbeat, you know, like Michael Jackson, that type of thing. Where it's getting you moving, because that's helping your dopamine, you know, get going. And then the next thing that I do is, because a lot of our thoughts come in our sleep. So if I'm start feeling myself slipping, I will put on YouTube when I go to sleep, and I'll put on either meditation music, or I'll put on like it's almost like hypnotherapy, where they're just kind of talking to you softly, but they're telling you, you know, you are great, you got this, da da da. It's a nice soft, and you go to sleep listening to this. And again, because your subconscious is working while you're asleep, it is feeding your brain, here's what we are, here's what we are going to do. You are great. We're gonna get up and we're gonna be okay.
Yeah, I do it every night. I listen to this one YouTube channel called Progressive Hypnosis. And it's this Australian lady just talking, her name's Helen Ryan, but exactly what you're saying. And it's like, the deal with that, if anybody's wondering, is that when you're asleep, it's hitting you because you don't have the walls up. You're not consciously trying to block and say, this isn't true or anything like that. You're just accepting it. It's hitting you while you're asleep. And
yeah,
I'm telling you, I feel better in the morning and more vitalized. And like, it's not that it doesn't happen if I don't listen to it, but even just this week, I have like nice calm meditation music, but the actual girl with the words, I put on and I felt better the next morning. And for the last like a little while before that, I had the other music is still good, but yeah, I love this. This is right up my alley. It's true, right? We have to do it.
It is so true.
Self-care, self-love, like this is important stuff, right? Because it's easy to spiral. And so if anybody's never been there, it's really probably difficult to understand this, but I know for sure a lot of people hearing this will have been there and will definitely resonate. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So maybe what are some kind of like tools you would use with a client when you're first starting work with them? Would you use something like a wheel of life chart and say like, here, what areas are you doing good? What areas are you doing bad? And let's adjust and make a plan.
Usually when I start work with them, it's not really a wheels chart. It's just more of us, me getting to know them getting to know me, and then just kind of like where they come from. So a lot of my clients are empaths. And, you know, with empaths, we absorb a lot of other people's stuff. That's what I like to call it. All people's stuff, their baggage. So a lot of how I start out is, what are the steps to start kind of saying no and backing off to other people's stuff? So I've gotten really good at it. And, you know, it's a question answer type of thing. You know, so if somebody's dumping on you, you have to continuously like tell yourself, wait, okay, I got to do this exercise. This is not my stuff. This is their stuff. I'm not here to fix this. This is their stuff, you know? So that exercise is usually my first, because that's usually what the biggest problem people come in with, and that's how they're getting stressed out, because they're taking on everyone else's stuff. I was just working with my 12-year-old niece on it. And, you know, kids are mean. Kids can be really mean. She just started middle school, and I have to tell her, you know, think about, don't go into your feelings as soon as somebody says something, but think about, okay, is this their stuff or is it really me? You know, take that time. So that's usually my first steps with somebody.
I love it. So yeah, because they could be projecting, right? And I know most coaches are empaths, and it's like, and we just absorb the other energy, right? So you have to like block and defend against it, almost like put yourself in a bubble and let it bounce off you. And yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think yeah. a big part is when you do get that feeling, like let's say your niece, right? And someone's making her feel a certain way by something that person said. Your niece has, is it have to do with your niece, or it has more to do with the person saying it and how their lives all messed up or whatever, you know?
Right.
I love it. And for me, yeah, I have a list of like all those things, journaling, meditation, affirmation, reading, sit-ups, mm-hmm. exercise, nature, and the music's a great tip, man. So anybody struggling, change the music, like, and that's it. Like, there's a guy named Bruce Lipton, and he did this experiment a long time ago, like 40, 50 years ago, about with cells, and cells would just grow the same way. But what he did, he moved the dishes, the petri dishes of culture, into different environments, and then they started growing differently. And it's not supposed to happen that way. And so he's teaching the whole time about genes. Yeah, they just divide every however long. And then he found out, no, that's not even true. There's something else besides the genes, above the genes, epigenetics, which depends on the environment. And so for me, when I'm teaching with this, it's the radio station is the example, right? If you don't like heavy metal music, all you have to do is change the station. And by doing that, you're changing your environment, even if you're not in the same room still.
Right.
So there's all these beautiful tools. And I love the fact your struggle, your journey, like that trajectory, it sounds a lot like mine. And so one of my superpowers is that, like, okay, when I go and facilitate these mental health groups, there's two, me and another facilitator, but usually the other facilitator is like, has an academic background, or psychologist, therapist, something like that. Mm-hmm. And where I'm not, but I know a lot of it. But then I also can, because of my experience, it's actually like almost more powerful than the other person. Mm-hmm. The therapist is obviously helpful. But so like what I'm saying is your story is definitely your superpower. And because of that, you're the light, you're the model that gets to go and spread it. So really good, and happy for that.
That's so cool that you said the superpower, because that's how I think of my anxiety and my depression. I think of them as superpowers now, instead of struggles. And by doing that, like, I'm again teaching your mind, you know, I'm able to manage it so much better than I was in the past. So that's crazy that you said superpower, because that's exactly how I think of it.
Nice. And so as we begin to wind down, if this episode resonates with you, please like, subscribe, share, follow, but no hard sell. And if it definitely resonates, then you should reach out to Deshauna. She's been doing this for almost 20 years, and she has extensive background with mentoring and coaching. So reach out. And I think, Deshauna, I always ask everybody, this is the Phase 4 podcast, and Phase 4 in the six-phase meditation by Vishen Lakhiani is about creating your future 3 years from now. And so where is Deshauna 3 years from today?
Deshauna 3 years from today is making an impact internationally. On stages that I never saw myself being on. Making sure that mental health is not a stigma, but a household word.
I love it. And now maybe I would like you to kind of take it wherever you want, somewhere, either like you can maybe give us a message of hope, something that you like to do for yourself that we don't talk about, or maybe even something, the business of something to sell or events coming up, wherever you want to go.
So, right now I have my app, A Passport, The Number to Breathe, and that is in Google Play and the Apple Store. So that could be downloaded for free. And also I have a, I'll be putting this into the app, but I have a GPT bot that I just created where people can get, you know, round the clock help if they put in questions. So right now, the one that I created is for ADD or ADHD and helping you with school. So it'll help like, okay, how do I do my schedule to do this assignment? How do I break down this assignment? So you can ask those different questions, and that'll be in the portal also. But I'm just excited to do, like, keep creating these things and just, you know, making a shift in the world. I'm excited. I want to be a disruptor. And I think I'm doing that.
Yeah, that's great. You are definitely doing it. I love it. There's a book called Blue Ocean Strategies. Have you ever heard of this?
I have not that one.
It's all about disrupting every industry you can. Okay. And it sounds like you're doing it because, to be honest, I've seen a couple like people, but not very many. Coaches is saturated, right? We know that. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen too many doing what you're doing. And so just giving someone the ease of access of an app, like just so simple, but so profound. So really good for you. You're a true light worker. And Deshauna, I'm so grateful for you in this conversation today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.